We continue this weekend with our reading from the Gospel of St. John in the 6th chapter. If you've been with me over the last couple weeks, I've kind of been taking each week to focus on a different aspect of the Eucharist, because in John's Gospel we get about 5 weeks of teaching on the Eucharist. Last week we talked about substance and accidents and transubstantiation, the way that the Eucharist becomes truly God, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus right here on our altar. This week, I'd like to focus a little bit on the notion of the Eucharist as sacrifice. Sometimes you'll still hear Mass referred to as the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And certainly people that are older would, that's the way you would normally hear to it referred to. I think we see from our Gospel today that Jesus obviously takes the Eucharist very seriously. It's much more than just food, as we learned last week, not mere bread and wine. But it's also not even just a meal amongst his disciples or friends. Rather, he takes it very seriously, saying that this is truly my flesh, and unless you eat and drink of my flesh and blood, you have no life. Very serious language, and even the people that are listening to it at those days quarrel. How can he do this? This doesn't even make sense. So, to some extent, we're in good company if at times we struggle a little bit with the Eucharist. But ultimately, we trust the one who speaks, who says, "This is my body, this is my blood." But more than just what we receive on the altar, it's not as if we're just receiving communion. We today sometimes have communion services, and the Archbishop has actually asked us as much as possible to not do that, to limit having communion services, as they've come to be called, outside Mass. Because Mass is much more than just changing bread and wine into God and then receiving it. Rather, the entire action of the Mass is a representation of the sacrifice of Jesus offered 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Notice that it's not a new sacrifice. We're not sacrificing Jesus again. Sometimes those who aren't Catholic will not understand when we say that the Mass is a sacrifice. They think that somehow we offer Jesus and sacrifice him again each week on our altar. Heaven forbid. Jesus offered himself once and for all, and that one-time sacrifice is of infinite value. It paid the debt for every sin that has ever been committed or ever will be committed. There's no need for a new sacrifice. But yet, for those of us who live 2,000 years after Jesus' death on the cross for us, how do we tap into that grace that Jesus won for us? How do we receive from this infinite pool of mercy won for us on Good Friday? Well, the answer of that is most especially the sacraments. All of the sacraments are ultimately putting us in touch with that grace. But especially in the Eucharist, it is as though we were present on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago on that first Good Friday. Now, that's a hard thing for our brains to kind of grasp because we live in time. We're used of 1 minute leading to the next, and it's like a line where we just live from one end to the next. But God is not on that line. God is outside of time. Therefore, when God died for us on Good Friday, this wasn't just a singular event in history, although clearly it was historic. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, we say. It was an event in history, but because it was God that was doing it, it transcends time, and therefore can be made present at any moment in time. This is a not uncommon understanding to Jews, who every year on the Feast of Passover, for instance, when they celebrate the Passover meal, they're not just celebrating any ordinary meal. They believe that the event of the saving of the Passover thousands of years ago is made present. It's an event that is made present in a way that it gets its own name in Greek. The word gets translated to remember in English, the word in Greek is anamnesis. Anamnesis literally means to make present again to the mind and in reality. That's a little insight to what happens at Mass. Why is it that we call this an altar? Notice that this, sometimes people are mistaken, this whole big area up here is not the altar. This is called the sanctuary. The table here is called an altar. An altar is a place where you offer sacrifice. There was an altar standing before the temple in Israel. Even the pagans, if they went to sacrifice incense or something before a god, would go to an altar. We call this an altar because on it we offer the sacrifice of the Eucharist. The sacrifice of Jesus is made present, transcending, surpassing time, here with us this morning. Sometimes I think people will ask me, gosh, what would it have been like to maybe be there 2,000 years ago on Good Friday, to be with Jesus, to stand beneath the foot of the cross with Mary and St. John and the other women? Well, we don't have to wonder, because that's where we're at when we go to Mass. That's why at every Catholic church it's required for the celebration of Mass that we have a crucifix. Not just a plain empty cross, but it specifically says it must be a cross with the image of Christ crucified on it. That's so we know where we're at. We're right at the foot of the cross of Jesus on Good Friday, where he offers himself for us. Because the sacrifice is always offered for something. Jesus offered his sacrifice for us. We owed a huge debt to our sin. We had irreparably damaged our relationship with God. But God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that the world might have life. That is the great beauty of the cross, then. Why we turn the cross, this instrument of torture, into an image of victory. So as we celebrate this Mass, we're meant to see, as the bread and wine come forward, not just the sacrifice of bread and wine, but we're meant to join the sacrifice of our lives to the sacrifice of Jesus. The priest at the altar takes all the prayers, the sacrifices of the people of God, transforms the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And then that beautiful moment at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, right before we all sing Amen, notice what the priest does. He takes the bread and the wine, now become God, the true sacrifice of Jesus, and he holds them high. He's not showing them to the people. We do that after we consecrate the bread and wine. At the very end, the priest holds them up, and he's not showing them to the people. He's showing them to the Father. The priest, in the person of Jesus, is presenting the sacrifice of Jesus before the Father in heaven. It's that moment in time of Calvary where Jesus offers himself completely to the Father. Where we constantly mess it up and say, no, God, not my will. Jesus says, no, not my will. Your will be done. And offers himself as the perfect sacrifice to the Father. You know, right before we receive communion, the priest holds up the host and he says, behold the Lamb of God. I think sometimes we think, oh, Lamb of God. Lambs are cute and fuzzy, and if you need that, you can go to my website and read the homily on Binkle's My Stuffed Sheep. That's what we think of when we think of a lamb. It's not at all what the Jews would have thought of when they heard John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God. A lamb was what you offered in sacrifice. For the Passover, to make present the saving action of God, they offered a lamb. If you sinned and offended God and needed to restore your relationship, you went to the temple and the priest offered a lamb in atonement for your sins. Each year, the high priest would take a lamb and we'd put our sins on it and drive it into the desert. A lamb meant sacrifice, a sacrifice to restore union with God. When John says, behold the Lamb of God, that's what the Jews would have heard. And that's what we too must hear when the priest holds up the Eucharist today and says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. That's the infinite power of the sacrifice of Jesus made present today. That's where we're at. We're at Calvary, receiving the fruit of Jesus' sacrifice. And with that in mind, indeed, we can well say, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.